Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody. We got a great show tonight. We are real tonight. We are live, and we are unplugged. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and this is Attention Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, April 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our topic tonight is dating and marriage with ADHD, going from wow to bored. And as one of our Twitter followers said, we forgot the most important. It's going from wow to bored to gone, which we'll kind of get into a little bit later. With us in our virtual studio is Kirsten Milken. And we're going to kind of jump into the meat of the show in a second, but just a few things. One, got to give a plug to CHAD. Their regional educational conference is coming up in Baltimore, Maryland on Saturday, May the 19th. For more information, go to chadd.org. I know Ned Hollowell is going to be the keynote speaker there. He's the author of Driven to Distraction. And actually, we had him on our show back in October to kick off ADHD Awareness Week. I want to remind all of our listeners that you can access us on Facebook. Whether you're a Facebook person or not, we have a fan page, so you can kind of get there, but go to facebook.com/attentiontalkradio, and there you can access our archives, you can see scheduled shows. There's actually a tab that you can listen to our show live and sign up for the newsletter, but since Facebook changed everything, it's kind of buried, so at the top you have to look, we see archived shows and stuff, and click on the drop-down button and you can kind of find it. We're going to try to fix that relatively soon, so bear with us, but know that that's there. If you're the type of person who doesn't like to go to the web and you like to know our upcoming schedule and stuff, if you can find that tab and plug in your email in our newsletter section, we'll actually email it our twice a month, our upcoming shows. This is all confusing, but we're going to hopefully make it real simple on Facebook within the next couple weeks. But anyway, know if you kind of go there and search around, you can make that happen. The one thing I will say is tonight is the deadline for our iTunes giveaway. If you go to facebook.com/attentiontalkradio and go to the advertisers and giveaway tab, which you can see, complete the form, send it to us, and you'll be eligible for a drawing. And entries are due at the close of midnight Eastern Standard Time in the United States tonight. So, let's see. Oh, another real quick announcement is it's not too late to start marking your calendars for the CHAD Annual Conference, which is going to be in San Francisco, November 8th to the 10th. Again, to go to chadd.org for more information on that. And I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that we're actually going to do a show in August to kind of preview the conference. So put that on your calendars to be looking out for it. We've been talking to Chad about doing something, maybe even having some of the keynotes kind of coming on and talk about some of the things that we're talking about, which will be kind of fun. But put that on your calendar. I know that I'm looking for it. I haven't been to San Francisco in a while. Last but not least, for our international crowd, we've been talking to Blog Talk Radio, trying to find a way to make it easy for callers to call in on Skype. Stay tuned to that. Hopefully we're going to crack that code, put a video out possibly showing you how to do that, but we think that we can make it easy for you guys to call in if you've got any questions. So with that, let's move on to the meat of the show. Again, tonight we've got Dr. Kirsten Milken in on the show, and Kirsten, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Now, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. I'm thrilled with tonight. And I have to tell you, this show was actually inspired years ago by a female coach with ADHD who, in a private conversation, confided to me that she had had many relationships in life and she was really feeling guilty because she got real excited. She can remember all the infatuation, but at about the 3-year point, like with clockwork, she found that she was getting bored. And I kind of talked to her a couple years about coming on the show, and she's a little reluctant. And not knowing anybody, I put a call out on Facebook, and you answered. And here we are today. And so I'm thrilled you're coming on the show. And I'm thrilled about this topic because I think we're going to kind of cover some stuff that a lot of people really aren't talking about.
Absolutely. I'm excited about it.
Before we get into stuff, let's talk about your background. You're a clinical psychologist, and you live with two children in Portland, Maine, correct?
I do, and two freaky dogs.
Two freaky dogs. You went to Alliant University for graduate school, right?
Yep.
Considered going into the military before going into clinical work?
I considered going into the military as part of my clinical work.
Touche. And her bio, she says she's a dynamic, energetic individual. And we had booked this show, and I was fortunate enough to actually meet you a couple weeks ago at the ADHD conference, a coaches conference, and I can attest that you're dynamic and full of life. I also want to touch base. You served as part of several years on staff as a psychologist for the New York Police Department, correct?
For a couple of years, I did, yes.
And from my understanding, you spent some little time in the cars with the sirens, you know, going on location to kind of help people out, right?
I used to volunteer to take all the overtime I could because it was nothing better than lights and sirens in the middle of the night shooting down the West Side Highway. It was great.
As an interesting side, I've been talking to Rob Tedesco of the Edge Foundation at the conference, and we're hoping to do a whole bunch of shows coming up on the juvenile justice system. And it was funny because he described he was a DA, I think, in the Brooklyn or Bronx or whatever, and he said it was the craziness was great for his ADHD at that time. So it was just kind of interesting. Now, you also have experience in the nonprofit world and as a volunteer in disaster relief, right?
Just keep on going. I'm sure there's a lot to that.
But for the last 16 years, you've been in Maine working as a psychologist, and 11 years ago, you moved into private practice and really working on folks with clients that have ADHD and learning differences.
Yeah.
The cool part about what I understand is 2 years ago, your son was diagnosed with ADHD inattentive, and you were like, I wonder where this come from.
I did. I was sitting in my living room thinking, you know, his dad doesn't have ADHD, and it's certainly not in his family. And it hit me. And I called my ex-husband, and I said, you know, where do you think Oliver gets his ADHD from? And Harry said to me, well, you, of course. The first time I met you, I could have told you that. I just didn't know what it was called. So, yeah.
Fascinating. So with that realization, it brought a perspective in what you're doing, and you've been kind of moving forward and using that to kind of provide structure in your life and make things happen sense, right?
Absolutely. It also put into perspective why I seem to get all of my clients who had ADHD for all those years. So.
Well, that's interesting. Why you seem to, you can kind of relate to them, so that's obviously helpful. Let's kind of kick things off. Let's just talk about just – before we get it, let's kind of talk about your dating and marriage history to kind of give our listeners a little bit of a context of what your history is, and then we'll kind of talk about, like, we'll get into more the nuts and bolts of the ADD side of it.
Absolutely. So are you looking for that great bio that I gave you when we were meeting at the conference then, the rundown?
Sure.
All right. So dating, love dating. I was late to life as far as dating. Didn't start until I was a senior in high school. But quickly, when I was 19 years old, I was dating a gentleman who needed to get his green card. I've been dating him for a year and a half. And so I thought, well, you know, he can't go marry somebody else. So I said, well, of course I'll marry you. You know, no big deal. So he and I went down to the New York City courthouse, and we got married. And that was, my parents did not appreciate that very much. So we got married, and shortly after that, he decided that I was now his wife, even though I had told him that I was not going to be his wife if we got married. He was just getting a green card out of it.
Uh-huh.
So at 19 years old, I had no intention of being a wife. And so that did not work out, and he did not get his green card from me. It was rather dramatic end. He stalked me. He threatened me. But I persevered, and we got divorced. And then, ironically, about 10 years later, the man who I had dumped before I met my first husband came back into my life. And he was living in Maine, and I was living in New York City, living my life, and you know, playing with the police department, having a great time. And he came down from Maine every few weeks, and we had a great time. And he said, I want you to move to Maine. So I said, if we're going to get married, I'll move to Maine. That's great. So he said yes. He got me a ring, and I moved to Islesboro, which is a little island off of the Midcoast area in Maine.
Oh, so hold on. So we're going from Manhattan to an island off the coast of Maine.
We are going from three blocks from Times Square with a view of the Empire State Building to an island in Maine. where I had to take a ferry boat. This is not like, you know, I could drive across the bridge. So I had to take a ferry boat every day back and forth to the island. The good news is that John Travolta was my neighbor. Bad news was I never saw him. And despite the ministers asking me if I really wanted to marry this man, I married him. And it was probably, you know, I was 29 years old. I had made my bed, and I was going to now lie in it and marry this man, even though it was not going well, even before we got married. So we got married, and he'd then decided that somehow I had turned into Judy Cleaver because I had a wedding band on my finger. And anybody who knows me will tell you that I am the furthest thing from June Cleaver. So that quickly went into the toilet and ended. And he stalked me, and he threatened my work, you know, my coworkers. And I persevered, and we got divorced. Thankfully, no kids. And then shortly after that, I met the father of my children, Harry, who was an amazing man. But we met, and he came to see me. He lived about an hour and a half away. And it was horrible. The date was torture. He didn't talk. He was really uncomfortable, quite anxious. You know, I was talking the whole time. And I, when he left, I thought, we are never going on another date. About a month later, I was going to New York City, and Portland, Maine was 2 hours closer to New York than where I live. So I called Harry up, and I said, hey, how about you take me out for a date? And he did. We went out for Japanese food. He was quite comfortable. He was fun. He was relaxed. We had a great time. We started dating. And 4 months later, I moved down to Portland, Maine, which was civilization. It was so exciting. I can tell you that the moment I decided that I was in love with Harry was when he brought me out to the Portland airport and was going to take me up flying because he had his pilot's license. So that was great. We, you know, got married a year later. We had two amazing children. And he was not social. I was. I was. He was not emotionally expressive, and I was. And it freaked me out when he wouldn't express what was going on. And so that led to a lot of emotional stuff for me and conflict in our marriage. And I eventually said, you know, I can't do this anymore. And so we got divorced. The good news is that he and I are probably better friends than we were husband and wife. And our children, you know, have always come first. So we continued to do things as a family, which has been great.
Excellent.
A year later, after I'd left him, I was doing online dating. And a gentleman from Brazil contacted me. And I had just decided that, you know, people who were contacting me from Washington, D.C. and Dallas and California were way too far away. So Brazil was out of the question. So I ignored him. And a week later, he emailed me again. And he explained to me that, you know, why he had contacted me and that he didn't, you know, he wasn't looking for a person to get his passport or his, you know, his citizenship or whatever. And so we started talking, and I went through all my doubts, and he was very charming and, you know, romantic and so exciting. And 4 months later, I had vacation time coming up, and I decided I would go to Brazil and meet him, and that was fabulous. So, because it was Brazil. So I went to Brazil, and Gustavo was very interested in moving to America, and I knew that from the beginning. And he had already engaged somebody to try and get his green card. And I said, oh, no. I love you way too much. If you're going to do this, I'll marry you. So, you know, so I married him for his green card again, which was interesting because I wasn't even present for the wedding. I was actually in a meeting when he called me and said, I hope you have your white dress on because we're about to get married.
So
his best.
Go ahead.
So you weren't even there. You, I presume you had to sign like a power of attorney or something for somebody to go to stand in your place to do the I do side of that, right?
Exactly. We had to do a proxy, and I had to tell them that I understood that it was written in Portuguese and that I knew how to read Portuguese. So, you know, it was quite an ordeal to get this whole thing done.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I got to spend 3 years going back and forth to Brazil. So, you know, it was great. I got a lot of vacations out of it, a lot of airline miles.
Uh-huh.
And got to do a lot of shopping because that was the one thing I got really good at down there was communicating in Portuguese about what I was looking for if I was shopping.
Wow.
So, yeah, I got a lot of great clothes and fabulous shoes down in Brazil. He did move to the United States a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if I want to go into all of the things that happened with him because some of them were just devastating.
To this point in time, I think and we're going to have to go to a break in a second, but
yeah.
We're getting a little bit of a flavor of what the history was. And normally I ask a lot of questions, but I think this has really been good to kind of set the stage. So
yeah.
I tell you what, let's go to a break. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about bringing ADD and stuff and talk about some of the differences here. Before we do, if anybody's got a question for you, Christian, email is the best way to contact you, correct?
Absolutely.
And that would be?
And, yep, the best address to get me at is Kirsten, KIRSTEN, at ADHDExecutiveCoach.com. Or they can find me on Facebook at the same ADHD Executive Coaching.
All right. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving individuals with or impacted by ADHD. At CHAD, we provide information and help families and professionals to improve the lives of those with ADHD. On May 19th, CHAD will be putting on a one-day education conference in Baltimore, Maryland. If you are impacted by ADHD, this is a must-attend event. For details, go to chad.org. Interested in exhibitor opportunities? Call 240-487-2314.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station, Attention Talk Radio. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. We got Kristen Milliken on the show, and we're talking about dating and marriage with ADHD, going from wild to bored, and some say gone. Before the break, Kristen was giving us a little bit of the history. Late to life, married at 19 to a person that was trying to get their green card, then later divorced as a person she was dating beforehand, kind of came into her life. Kind of an introvert, I guess. They were different. I mean, very completely different. All of a sudden, she finds herself married and moving from the heart of New York City into the middle of nowhere. God, what a contrast that was. Expected to be June Cleaver, if you will. And then when that didn't necessarily work, she hooked up with another individual, Harry, that kind of took her out of that environment, moved, had a couple kids. There's some excitement there. And then as that began to die, all of a sudden she found herself off to Brazil, because it was closer than the neighbors down the street, which kind of ran its course. Kirsten, you didn't get diagnosed until a little bit later in life, and this is a little bit of your history. Do you How much of this do you think was had anything to do with just ADD and the natural tendencies for brain stimulation?
I think a lot of it. I mean, you know, I'd been in the police department. Well, I mean, the first one, dating a guy, the first man that I married was from Egypt, so he was, you know, somewhat exotic.
Yep.
That whole thing. And it was very exciting because I was introduced to a lot of different people, and I was living in New York City also at that time. So I think each time it was that initial excitement, and there was something, you know, even Harry, my kid's father, who a lot of people now say, oh, my God, we can't ever see the two of you get together because he's so not social. He's so awkward. Very quiet, very anxious, grumpy often. But he was a pilot. He had his pilot's license. He knew how to fly. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved to travel. So, I mean, each of these gave me something new and exciting that I, you know, I really enjoyed. But, you know, those things can only last so long. You can't do them all the time.
Yep.
So, you know, in Brazil was great, and everybody said I had the ideal situation because I, you know, we were only together every once in a while, so it was new every time for, you know, for the first year and a half, 2 years. So it definitely played in to, I think, initiating each of the relationships and then deciding to commit to them because I wanted more of that.
Mm-hmm.
But also I think some of the negative aspects of ADHD played in too, to, you know, when the minister said to me, are you sure that you want to marry this man? And I said, yes. You know, I felt like this was kind of my lot in life, was to be with this defective person who, you know, created problems for other people and for me. That, you know, I'd had my chance to live in New York and do whatever, and I had made a decision to move, and so now I had to commit to that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of shame in not, you know, in changing a relationship or getting out of a relationship that I had committed to. So, and I think that played out several times.
Are you more aware of it now, looking back in the rearview mirror?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, I reflect on it now, both because I have, you know, I still have a relationship with two of these men, and I have new relationships, and I'm always looking to see, you know, how do I feel in this relationship? You know, how is this person receptive when I'm in the midst of, you know, being overwhelmed or whatever because of ADHD? I keep it very much in the forefront of my mind, especially now because it's such a focus for me,
mm-hmm.
because of my work, because of my child, because of me.
Well, one of the things that I want to emphasize here, because I'm, you know, as an attention coach, I'm not a mental health professional. I've never necessarily been trained in that world. I don't consider myself a scientist. I'm just a coach. I'm just worried about, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you want to make a cup of coffee, if you can't, how do you do it, type of thing. But I want to be kind of careful here to say, you know, is this all directly related to AD science? I don't necessarily know, but the reason I really wanted to have you on the show, Kirsten, is that as we look at this stuff, we can certainly see some impulsiveness and we can see some excitement. And we've had Dr. Barkley on the show a little over a year ago talking about emotion in relation to ADHD, and we actually had him on about a month ago talking about self-regulation. And as I start to look through this stuff, the extremes, like moving from New York City to the middle of nowhere and like the police department to clinical stuff, I mean, there's such a swing that, to me, there's a sense that ADHD is at play here. Whether it is or not, to me, is not that big of a deal, but there's a lot of people out there with ADHD that this might, and if you identify with this a little bit, it's not necessarily you. Sometimes it's just your brain wiring, and to become aware of this, I think kind of puts you in a little bit more position to manage it. Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but can you kind of comment on it? The awareness that of the extremes, is that Is that something that has come to you and has been able to help you, or what's your perspective on that?
Definitely. I mean, it's so easy to be attracted to the excitement. I mean, you know, ADHD is a difference of motivation. So when things are more exciting or more passionate or more, you know, conflictual or whatever, it engages my brain much better than when things are just kind of going along. So I've had to become aware, and I think I've done that more, probably even before my diagnosis with ADHD, that I have to find ways to keep myself engaged in the relationship and to keep myself excited and to hopefully get my partner to be aware of the fact that I need that reciprocated too. One of the things that came to me recently was that having ADHD and not being recognized as having that and being high achieving in my life, I've always kind of overmanaged things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not going to be late. I was always making sure that I was early and at the worst on time. And if somebody was with me, they had to do the same or it made me nuts.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, and that's just one example. I was so living in my head all the time trying to manage things. And trying to, you know, having that recognition of having the ADHD and trying to let go of some of that is so difficult when it impacts other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it became important to me to have somebody who could allow me to not always be in my head all the time, could allow me to not have to manage things all the time, and to have not just a partner but other people around me who kind of got that sometimes I am impulsive. Sometimes I am overwhelmed and I kind of check out. You know, sometimes I get overwhelmed and I, rather than checking out, get really irritable and just overwhelmed. But that I don't have to all of a sudden put on this facade or, you know, go into my head so much that it makes me crazy.
Yep.
Is really important. And fortunately, I've been able to develop that new family for myself, or that, you know, those new relationships where people kind of get that and respect it, that it's not about them. It's my brain. It's how I am. And, you know, it's not going to last forever.
This is a great stopping point. I want to cut kind of another break, because what you said is really, really, really pretty powerful. And I want to reiterate what you said a second ago. You're taking on the responsibility to find a way to stay engaged in the relationship as a result of this awareness. And it reminds me of a show that I had done a while ago that I'd like to kind of pick up where we are right now after we come to the break and talk about, you know, what you do kind of consciously and tie some of the stuff into it. But again, before we go to the break, can you share your email address for anybody who might have some questions after the show?
Yep, you can reach me at Kirsten, KIRSTEN, at ADHDExecutiveCoach.com or at ADHD Executive Coaching on Facebook.
There you go. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Beginning the show, we talked to Kirsten a little bit about our background. The last segment, we were talking a little bit about ADHD and the impact on some of the relationship, which is fascinating. And we end the last segment, she was talking about what I heard. She didn't say this, and I don't want to put words in her face, but that the awareness of what was going on, she's becoming more empowered to realize that she needs to find ways to stay engaged in a relationship. And I have to say that the gist of what she was saying takes me back to a show that we did with Ari Tuchman back in 2010. And the topic was to tell or not to tell. That is the question. And we were talking about ADHD. And the issue was, is it an excuse or an explanation and kind of what's kind of going on? And at the end of the day, we were talking about the idea of like, hey, there's these symptoms and you have to really kind of manage it, and you have to be empowered of what's going on. It's not an excuse. It's an explanation for what's kind of going on, which enables you to merit and to manage it. And, Kirsten, when you said you need to find ways to engage yourself in that relationship, to me, is you're taking ownership of, hey, I got to be creative and make this thing happen, as opposed to being really, really kind of passive. Am I – and which, by the way, real quickly, Ari's going to be on in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about everybody needs a friend. So Ari's a great guest, so make sure you mark your calendars for May 2nd on that. But going back to Kirsten, do you feel like that you're actively kind of engaged and you're taking, you know, I'm managing this as opposed to paying more of a victim? Or just give me your perspective, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I kind of hear that you're like saying taking ownership of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I take ownership of it. I think as far as trying to communicate directly when something's happening that's related to ADHD, you know, I've had too much right now. I can't do this. You know, I've got my current partner. He and I got into a conflict one day, and he was trying to talk to me, and he ended up getting up and leaving, and I was confused. And when we finally reengaged, I said, you know, what was that about? You were just leaving. He said, you couldn't even look me in the face when you were talking to me. And I said, you know, I said, that has nothing to do with you. I need you to know that when it comes to emotional conflict, I can't. It's too much for me. And so my way of staying engaged is to not have that eye contact, because it becomes too much. So, you know, as long as I'm communicating with him what's going on, we could work it out. He understood then that it didn't have to do with him. It was, you know, my brain. That's how I function. I was doing the best I could. So always communicating, taking responsibility, trying to figure out, is there a way for me to do it where, you know, it's not going to be disrespectful, it's not going to be hurtful to somebody else, and if not, how can I at least communicate this to them, that this is me doing my best?
What you said is – I want to – there's a lot of what you just said that's really kind of subtle that I don't think a lot of people out there with ADHD get. As you become aware of kind of what's going on, and the idea of I can't look you in the eye because it's too much for me is basically saying, hey, listen, here's who I am and here's how I work. I'm still engaged in the conversation if I'm not looking you in the eye. It's just too much. I get overwhelmed by it, so don't take it wrong, but realize that I'm still in this kind of conversation. And by helping them, your partner, know what's going on and what naturally works, it makes it easier for them to not take it personal and to help manage, work with you in that situation to manage it. Now, as a coach, I work with people a lot in that moment that you start to understand how you work and you can articulate it back to somebody so that they realize it. It kind of takes the mystery out of it. Am I putting words in your mouth, or would you agree that that is very empowering in your situation with your relationships right now?
It's absolutely empowering, because as long as the other person is willing to listen to what I'm saying and let go of their ideas about how things are supposed to be, then everything can work. You know, we've got this idea that in order to have somebody's attention, they should be looking you in the eye. And that's not always true. There are various reasons for not looking somebody in the eye when you're having a conversation, especially if it's emotional. So, you know, if that other person at least hears that.
And I really want to underscore what you just said. So many times it's not what you think it is, or we jump to conclusions, or we make the inference. And sometimes for some people, like in that, what you're describing is when the emotion stuff is so high, it's just too much. It's too much stimulation, or I don't want to put words in, but it's too much for you. But you can still engage in that conversation and still be there if your eyes aren't there. is really, really, really pretty powerful. And it's funny because I was working with somebody the other day, we were having a real breakthrough, and the person was, they're more introverted, their partner's a little bit more social, and they were starting to articulate, here's what I do and here's how it works, and taking the mystery out of it. And the person that I was working with was surprised because the partner was responding very positively, as if to say, hey, I'm going to change it for this situation. Do you need to look the other direction a little bit? Would it make it easier for that conversation? And the person I was working with was really empowered. And it kind of goes back to understanding how you work, which goes back to the fundamental reason why I was thrilled that you came on the show, Kirsten. And the point of this is there's a lot of people out there with ADHD in some relationships. The ADHD is kind of showing up, and they don't really know. And, Kirsten, you've done a beautiful job of talking about the highs and lows and the roller coasters and stuff like that to say, hey, you're not necessarily alone, but if you recognize this and you are empowered to say, hey, listen, it's my responsibility to kind of stay engaged and tell your partner, hey, listen, I'm trying to stay engaged and I need these things, what I'm hearing is it can really change the way you do things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the quality of your relationship when you can express your needs, you can feel like you're being heard. But, you know, I know a lot of people will say, you know, with ADHD, we've gotten all those negative, all that negative feedback from people because who say, you know, you're just lazy or you're just this, or you're just that. And it's so important to be able to express yourself and get the respect back from a person and being heard and have them work with you and your brain and your ADHD rather than trying to make you feel bad about it. So, yeah, it's huge.
Two things. One is we had a caller that called in before and actually went into the chat room and asked a question. I had kind of responded to them offline during a commercial break, and they've lopped off. I don't know if you're out there, but if you can call in or whatever, we'll try to weave you in. If we missed you, we're sorry we did. But with that said, Kirsten, words of wisdom for other people out there that have ADHD and finding themselves in like roller coasters or relationships or kind of getting bored. Any words of wisdom at this point in time that you'd like to share with them?
Yeah, you know, one of the big things is you don't have to be one down. Relationships should be, you should be on a level playing field. And I know until I realized, you know, what was going on with me and how much value I had in any relationship, I always felt like I was the person who was one down in a relationship. And there's no need for that. We have as much value and as much to contribute to a relationship, and it takes both people working on the relationship, whether, you know, both of you have ADHD, one of you has it, whatever. You both have to be able to communicate how you process things, what you need, explain your intentions to each other so that we're not, you know, miscommunicating, misunderstanding each other. And I think that's true for everybody. It's not just about ADHD, but that's just, there are ways to learn about your ADHD. There are coaches, there are therapists that you can go to. So it can make it easier if you engage with those people.
Excellent. I have another, one other question is that all of our listeners out there, every once in a while I will go on Facebook because I am looking for, I can get mental health professionals, and you are a psychologist, but you're coming here as an individual, but a lot of times the professionals I get have a professional bent, and I like to get it from their perspective. So we did a show on the impact of ADHD and religion from an individual view, or the impact of divorce, like after the divorce happened in ADHD, to get those perspectives. One of the things that you responded, Kirsten, you really seem to have a lot of confidence and self-esteem and really kind of understand this. What's enabled you to get to this place?
Great friends who have validated how, you know, I use the word fabulous all the time. And so when they say that back to me, I'm like, yes, that, you know, that I do have a lot to offer, that I am intelligent, that I have a lot of value, that I am a good friend, that I am a great partner. I'm a fabulous mother. I've got amazing kids. And so being able to put aside all of the, you know, negative crap that's been in my head and just get perspective on, this is my brain. This is, you know, my brain and my head with ADHD, and this is how I function. I can take control of it. Sometimes I let it get away from me, but it doesn't take away from who I am. So I think once you have a perspective and you choose what you're going to invite into your life, it can change things.
Perspective and what you choose and you have in life. In other words, I'm gonna really turn this around. It's how you view the world and how you direct the language and the stories you tell back on yourself. Was that accurate?
It is. And the thing that you always say is, you know, it's a matter of what you pay attention to. So what I started paying attention to was all of the strengths that I had rather than all of that other negative stuff that was going on in my life. And it makes a difference.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Today has been a thrill interviewing Kirsten, and it's funny because that last little bit was we had Dr. Barkley on, and everybody knows I'm a fan. I had him on a month ago because his new construct, Executive Function Deficit Disorder, particularly when he talks about level one and the six thinking tools, it's interesting to me because I can almost relate coaching right back to each one of them, the ability to inhibit and self-awareness and the visual imagery and the language directed back on yourself, the emotions and the privatization of play are all things that you can't necessarily see. And those deal with really perspectives, and I think that's the area that coaches really kind of live in. And what I'm hearing is that you've kind of turned the table and you've learned to look at these things a little different and tell the story a little bit different, and you're looking at the positive attributes. Not only are you looking at some of that stuff, but you're actually realizing that it's up to you in the relationship to find ways to keep yourself engaged, because if you don't, your automatic brain will continue to move in a certain direction. But if you take charge, you can allow your executive functions to kind of take over and take really kind of control your life. It's funny, I'm inspired. We might have to have you back on the show, have you listen to that show, and just have a conversation about that and your particular stuff, because I think it would be a blast.
Absolutely, anytime, Jeff.
Let's see. Okay, so moving on. Oh, Jesus, we're almost out of time. So I guess, Kirsten, let me just kind of wrap things up. And thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been a blast. Everybody out there who are in relationships that have ADHD, if you find yourself in this roller coaster, take some inspiration from Kirsten. Feel free to contact her. Again, Kirsten, your email address?
Is Kirsten, K-I-R-S-T-E-N, at ADHDexecutivecoach.com.
And with that, we'll wrap it up. Thanks, Kirsten. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Good night.
Everybody, next week I think we have an Ann Dolan on talking about helping kids with homework. Watch that. And then the following week we have another real fun show. But go to facebook.com/attentiontalkradio and you can keep abreast to what's coming up. Take care, everybody.